Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God created the man and the woman in his great love. He made them in his own image and likeness, and then he provided for them. He gave them a garden filled with pleasant trees for good food. It was Adam's job to care for this garden. They were allowed to eat any of the fruit in the garden that they chose, but as they passed by the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only tree that God had commanded them not to eat from, they worshipped God there by their obedience to his command. But then one day they didn't obey, and they ate of the forbidden fruit. From that day until this very day, the ground has produced good food only by the sweat of man's brow and by the Lord's generous gift of rain. But the thorns and the thistles of Adam's sin grow by themselves and in great abundance. Now Jesus is with the people who have come out after him from the towns and the villages, and there's not enough food for so many of them. The plenteousness of the garden has been replaced by the sin-filled fallen world and its scarcity. The text says that while Jesus was traveling through the region of the Decapolis, this great crowd had gathered around him, and they had nothing to eat. The disciples, in their usual fashion, taking the place of unbelievers, say to them, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" There are many unbelievers who don't think God is capable of creating the world in 6 days, who don't believe that God made man or created the trees to give him food. Not surprising that it's hard to believe that Jesus can multiply food and feed thousands either. Whether this text means that they were actually in the desert, as the word in the Greek suggests, or the disciples are referring to the place of the Gentiles, it really doesn't matter. It fits both ways quite well. You see, something amazing is happening here. This crowd that has left everything to follow Jesus, who has not even bothered to pack a lunch and has been with him for 3 days, is not a crowd of God's chosen people. It is not a crowd of the Jews. It is a crowd of Gentiles, of tax collectors and pagans, as the scribes and Pharisees label them. To understand what is happening with this miracle, the feeding of the 4,000, you must understand what has happened a few chapters earlier in the Gospel according to St. Mark. In chapter 5, Jesus has just gone across the sea to the country of the Gerasenes. There, upon disembarking from the boat, he encounters a man who is possessed by a legion of demons. The people of the region all knew this man well. They used to chain him to keep him from harming them and from harming himself. But the chains no longer hold him, so they have left him alone. He doesn't live in the city anymore. He is forced to live in the catacombs with the dead. The legion of demons in this man immediately recognize Jesus as the Son of God, something no one else in this account of the gospel, they have not ever done this yet. No one else has recognized Jesus as these devils have done. Jesus commands them to come out of the man, but they plead with him that they would not be destroyed. And so instead he does what they wish. He sends them into the herd of pigs nearby on the hill, and then the pigs rush headlong into the sea and are drowned. This is all amazing in itself. A man who has the strength to break chains. Pigs who can't swim. But I'm not yet even to the point. The people of that region heard what had happened. The shepherds and tenders of the pigs went away and told them, and the people all came to see. They found the man who is formerly possessed by these legion of demons. He is in his right mind, wearing clothing, sitting and being instructed by Jesus. They are terrified at what they see. They love their pigs that have just been killed more than they love Jesus. And so they ask Jesus to leave. The man who had been possessed wants to leave with Jesus too. And who can blame him? But Jesus will not let him attend the seminary. He will not let him go and follow after him as the disciples have done. Instead, he says something very specific to the man. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That man did exactly what Jesus told him to do. How do we know? These 4,000 are the proof. These 4,000 who are now following Jesus are the ones that had rejected Jesus the first time, who had wanted him to leave their region, who had loved their pigs more than him. This man, through his speaking, brought all these people to hear Jesus. Now they have left their pigs and everything else and gone out after him. They heard about God's great mercy that Jesus had in this demon-possessed man. No doubt they even saw it. They saw him and heard from his lips what Jesus had done for him. Now Jesus, seeing the hungry crowd, says, I have compassion on this crowd. That word compassion in Greek means that he is torn up inside of himself. His guts are churning as he sees these people without food. In a word, he has love for them. God's mercy has been shown to one man, and by that one man, now many more have come to hear Jesus and will receive his love and compassion and providence for themselves. Did you notice that the 4,000 are not bothering Jesus for food? They aren't asking him to provide a meal. He simply knows what they need, and he gives it to them. As in the feeding of the 5,000, which happened not long before this, and which was a feeding of Jews, not Gentiles, Jesus takes what little bread there is, and he breaks it and gives thanks and multiplies it. Then he takes the few fishes that are there and multiplies them as well. Just as he gives pastors today to preach his words of law and gospel and to be stewards of God's mysteries of baptism and the Lord's Supper, so he gives the bread and the fish to the disciples to distribute to the crowd. God in his mercy doesn't provide just enough to get by. He provides in great abundance. Adam and Eve didn't need all those trees in the garden in order to have food. A few would have sufficed, but he gave them great variety and many trees. Here the people are able to eat their fill at this feast in the desert. The text says that they are satisfied. Jesus is torn up inside of himself, and the people are satisfied. There are 7 baskets that remain. Through very little means, through simple bread and a few small fish, he creates a feast. Through his disciples, as by his own hand, he gives God's bounty to a fallen creation. While this text does establish what the disciples who are in training are to do when Jesus is gone, it does not establish that everyone is to be a minister of the gospel or a steward of the mysteries of God. The demon-possessed man went back to his job as Jesus commanded him. He went back and told the people he met about God's mercy in Jesus Christ. So too did this great crowd of 4,000 people go back to their lives and their jobs and share what God had done for them in the miraculous feeding in the wilderness. This is your vocation too. The text ends with the simple words, "And he sent them away." Jesus didn't need to tell the crowd to share the good news of God's mercy and providence in Jesus Christ. Neither do I need to tell you to share the good news of God's mercy and providence in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to the sin and death of the garden. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. His cross is the answer to all the problems of this earthly life, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. Before you even knew that you had a need of a Savior, God sent His Son to die for your sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you can pray for things that you need to support this body and life, God knows your need and He gives them to you in great abundance. As great as your many sins are, His forgiveness and mercy are greater still. While we are not 4,000 in number today, our Lord's mercy is no less today than it was in that wilderness long ago. He has come here to this place to speak forgiveness and peace to you, and you have left everything else behind to hear His words. He has come here to wash you in His forgiveness and feed you with the bread that has come down out of heaven and with His blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, hear again what you have come to hear, and then come and feast on Christ's body and blood for your life and health and salvation. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in His peace. You are free. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.